Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Not alone, though. I'm here with a live studio audience. We're in the middle of the ocean at the 15th annual Investor Summit at Sea. We got lots of great guests. You're going to love them all when we come back. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Guys.
Forbes rated Memphis the best cash flow market in the nation. And our good friend Terry Kerr at Mid-South Homebuyers has been the premier turnkey rental property provider in Memphis for over 13 years. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, Terry has renovated over 750 houses. Real Estate Guys listeners have snapped up hundreds. Discover what these satisfied investors already know. Mid-South's properties are completely renovated with a one-year warranty and a lifelong rental guarantee. They're affordable, well-managed, and easy to own. Perfect for beginning investors and veterans alike. Get in on the action. Contact Terry and his team via email at midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. We're here with a live studio audience today. A bunch of beautiful people in the middle of the ocean. It's our Investor Summit at Sea. It's been extraordinary so far. We've got an incredible faculty this year, and we're going to meet a few of them on today's show. Very excited about that. Let's start with the gentleman who 20 years ago this week wrote a little purple book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's its 20th anniversary of that book. Mr. Robert Kiyosaki. Robert, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. I can't believe it's 20 years, but I can't think of a better place to spend it with this crowd. And as I say to everybody, I've not come to speak, I've come to learn. And that's the beautiful thing about the Investor at Sea conferences. It's so stimulating. I learn new things all the time, and this is not a time to be complacent. I think we're on the eve of possible destruction, so it's really a good time to be here learning from very smart people. So thank you.
Thanks for being here. You've had a chance to sit in on all the sessions so far, and what are your takeaways, Robert? What are the things that you've learned as a student? Because certainly you've shared as an instructor, but as a student, what have been some of the big takeaways so far?
Well, like I said, you guys, the real estate guys, have the smartest people I know, and everyone comes from a different perspective. And so for me, the most important thing I've learned is to keep an open mind. Because it's so easy to be a legend in my own mind, you know, to think that I know all the answers. And I think the most important thing is to suspend my point of view and listen to other people's points of view. And it's infinite. I mean, there's so many different ways, not only to make money, but to be aware of what's coming in the future.
And how do you do that? How do you look ahead? Because you wrote a book called Rich Dad's Prophecy, which is based on what was happening in the future. Many of the things you've said over the years have come to be true. We've had several speakers mention specific things you told them, and lo and behold, that's what's happened. I know you don't have a crystal ball. How is it that we can look forward and make some guess?
Well, it really is possible to look into the future because there's parts of history that do repeat. And number one thing that's repeating is the ability to print money. You know, throughout history, from Roman times and all this, every government has tried to pay the bills with fake money. We have fake news, fake history, and now we have fake money. So it's pretty easy to predict what has changed as technology. And so how is that going to affect the future? And worst of all, or best of all, it's going to affect the entire world at the same time. For example, when, let's say, the Roman Empire printed money or debased currency, it only affected them. but today it's going to affect everybody. So today it's going to affect everybody, and that's why it's really important to not only have an open mind, but a big world point of view.
Now, 20 years ago, the book came out. You told the story this week. Of course, no idea where that would go. Amazing, amazing story. How about the story of printing 1,000 books and driving them around? How was that? So obviously, we don't have time for that whole story, but now fast forward, and you're the number one best-selling personal finance author in history. Talk about how that happened.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. It came, you know, I talked about it here at the Summit at Sea. It came from a personal sense of responsibility of having to do something. The story of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, my poor dad was head of education, PhD, University of Hawaii, Stanford, University of Chicago, but they don't teach you about money at school. And I think that's probably the underlying problem of the entire crisis ahead of us, or why our governments can get away with ripping us all off by printing money. And I think the culprit, or one of the many culprits, is our educational system. So I just wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad because I could see this crisis coming. As I said, the rich don't work for money. And Rich Dad, Poor Dad 20 years ago, your house is not an asset and savers are losers. And today all three are true. You look at the idea of going to school to get a job, that's an obsolete idea. But most parents are so terrified, but what do I tell my child if they don't get a job? I said, well, that's a good question. If your child's not going to have a job, not going to have the benefits, they'll probably be underemployed, and we're probably already in a depression right now. We just have jacked it up with printed money. What do you tell your child? And really, that's been my reason 20 years ago for writing Rich Dad, Poor Dad, is to prepare people for today. So that's the story.
It's interesting. We've certainly had some faculty members this week that have painted in that picture that there's some stuff out there, and we're going to hear a lot more about that today. At the same time, there's cause to be optimistic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always a plan A and a plan B. For most people, like my poor dad, you know, he was born in 1919, and his plan A, he was going to go to school and become a professor and teach school until he got fired. But he had no plan B. So when I saw that back in the 70s, I said, being a military officer, we're always taught to have plan B, plan C's, tertiary targets, and all this stuff. It's a way of thinking. And my plan B became the best plan of all, which was not have a job, start my own business, invest in real estate, invest in my financial education, don't save money, use debt, don't pay tax, and save gold and silver. That was my plan B, and plan B today, some 30 years later, is the best plan A I could have ever had. So everything is a paradox. In other words, what you think is true is probably not true, and what's best for you is best have a plan B. So I'm old school, which I was talking about to Peter Schiff about gold money and all this other stuff and Bitcoin. I just like gold. And I don't invest in gold for money or capital gains. I just invest in gold and silver simply because I don't trust my government. If you trust your government, keep saving money, keep having a little 401ks and mutual funds, and keep believing the Easter Bunny will show up on Christmas. That's what you have to do.
Now, last thing, Robert, it's your fourth time back, and we're always honored to have you. And we saw a little different side of Robert Kiyosaki this time. And you talked a lot about the spiritual side. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, we have Simon Black here, and he is a fellow Academy graduate. You know, they're called ring knockers. There's five federal academies in America. And one is West Point, the one is Air Force Academy, Naval Academy, Coast Guard, and Kings Point. And Kings Point is the smallest academy. But every academy starts with one word. Every 18-year-old coming into an academy is taught one word, mission. And mission is a spiritual word. You know, in Christianity, they had the missionaries. The Buddhas had their missionaries. Mormons have their missionaries. So you're operating under the guidance of God. And I had a long talk about God because God gets very confusing. But anyway, is that the first thing we learn in the military is mission, duty, honor, respect, courage, code. And when I went for my MBA, those words were never, ever heard. And I think that's the problem with our educational system, first and foremost. They have lost their moral, ethical, and legal compass. and so has most of our government officials. I grew up in Hawaii, which Forbes magazine called the People's Republic of Hawaii. The biggest trust, educational trust in America is in Hawaii. It's called the Kamehameha Bishop Estate Trust. It is so corrupt that it's taking down at this time Supreme Court justices because they're all got their hands in the pot stealing money. And they're stealing chump change. You know, these guys are going down for $400,000 or $500,000. Heck, if you're gonna go down, be like Bernie Madoff, what, $5 billion or something? You know what I mean? But anyway, our whole system is a kleptocracy right now. Everybody is stealing money from everybody. And that's what happens when you have a fiat currency or printed money. So that's why I'm fascinated about being here. As I say to the audience disrespectfully, I said, I'm not here to speak to you. I'm here to be one of you. I am here to learn just like the rest of you.
And he has been. Let's give him a hand. Robert Kiyosaki. Our next student and masterful teacher back for an appearance the eighth time on Investor Summit at Sea. Let's say hi to the Rich Dad Advisor for Real Estate, Mr. Ken McElroy. Kenny, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Hey, you know, you started off our first day at sea with a bang, and I think a lot of folks were interested in hearing about a topic that the rest of the world thinks is a four-letter word, a bad thing, and you taught us that it's really a good thing, and that's debt. Tell us about debt.
Yeah, well, what was interesting is because I sat through the other classes, that it seemed to be that debt kind of seems to be the theme this entire week. And essentially, I believe that it's good to be in debt right now because of, obviously, the way the dollar is being printed. That's going to drive inflation. And if you're in debt, then, of course, you're going to pay off that debt with cheaper dollars later. So that's essentially the whole idea.
Well, you know, most people do look at debt from real estate perspective. I mean, if we can get leverage on a property, that's good. But there's a big difference between good debt and bad debt.
That's right. Well, obviously, this goes back to even the cash flow game, you know, that Robert and Kim formed. You know, there's good debt, which, of course, is the kind of debt that your tenants pay off. And then there's bad debt, you know, when you buy things that depreciate right after. So it's really a simple concept. Most people are getting into credit card debt and they're buying things that are depreciating quickly. And, you know, what we teach is we teach to get the kind of debt that appreciates or that tenants pay off for you. So, you know, you don't just want to go into debt. You want to go into debt that cash flows. You want to use debt for cash flow. And one of the things that we talk a lot about, Robert and Kim and I, is cash flow versus capital gains. Capital gains strategy is just buying something and hoping it goes up. Well, you know, we're on a cruise ship here. You might as well just go to the casino. Because seriously, it's the same thing. Buying something and hoping that it goes up is literally not a strategy. Anybody can do that. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to use debt, which is other people's money. It's depositors' money. It's people put all their money into the banks, and then those banks lend it out to me. And I use it to buy real estate assets, you know, that of course cash flow, and then I put more money back into my bank account. So that's essentially the cycle we're looking for. We think good debt is a great way to become massively rich. And honestly, we're hoping for a crash and we're hoping for inflation.
Excellent point. Let's talk about that because those are paradigm breakers. Most people aren't hoping for a crash and hoping for inflation. We started our summit with a visit from Dr. Doug Duncan, the chief economist for Fannie Mae, who wasn't able to join us for the entire cruise portion of the summit. He intended to, but believe it or not, the government pulled him away. I don't think it's because these guys were with us. I think it was for a different reason, but you never know. But that was pretty impactful speech listening to Dr. Duncan.
Well, of course, I do a lot of stuff with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So, you know, I went right up to him and, you know, we have borrowed hundreds of millions of dollars from him, not from him specifically, but from his employer. And so I was really excited to hear what he had to say. I learned quite a bit. He confirmed a lot of things that I thought, and I believe, and he said multiple times that we're late in the cycle, at least for my asset class. You know, we're seeing really compressed capitalization rates. We're seeing really high numbers and on the price side, on the value side. We're seeing the cost of debt go up, as you know, with the interest rate hikes. So all those things aren't good. And when you get to a situation where you're buying today, and even if your cap rates go up just a little bit, it erases all the progress you just made. So it's a very important point. And, you know, I loved what he said, and it just kind of reconfirmed, you know, where we're heading as our company.
We also learned that there is a different market cycles for different types of property, and there's the macro markets and there's, you know, product types. A few weeks back, we had you on the program and you were talking about at this stage of the cycle for apartments, you guys aren't buyers. This isn't a time you're looking to acquire. But you also spoke of things you can do in these times. And I think if we are sailing into economic headwinds, cash flow is that much more critical. It's always critical, but certainly when times are tough.
Yeah, so some of the things that we're doing, as I talked about, we restructured a lot of debt. So we refinanced about $250 million worth of loans in the last 12 months and locked long-term 10-year money. Interesting that they would give us 10 years of interest only, 10 years IO, we call it, IO, interest only. So, you know, we're locking at high threes, low fours, 10-year money, and hoping that inflation comes. We're not investing right now because, you know, we're not seeing what we call value add. We're not seeing the ability to be able to increase the properties very significantly like we used to be able to do. And, of course, because we're cash flow guys, you know, I like cash flow right out of the gate. And so when you have these high prices and you don't have the rent growth like we've seen and you have the higher interest rates, we're just not seeing the cash flow that we were 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Good stuff. If you learned something from Ken McElroy this week, let's have a show of applause. Big hammer, Kenny McElroy. It's the 15th Annual Investors Summit at Sea. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. More when we come back, I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe, CEO of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. If you're listening to this, odds are pretty good that you're already a real estate investor, or at least becoming one. So why do you do it? Is it to hedge inflation, the tax benefits, or maybe it's to get your money away from Wall Street? It's because of these benefits and so many more that I created the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy. When you combine successful real estate investing with the perpetual wealth strategy, you have the recipe for what has helped the wealthy to establish their financial well-being for decades. You can download the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy today by clicking the Resources tab on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait, go download it now.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Have fun. You'll learn something.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Heard every weekend on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com and at least once a year in a cruise ship. It's the 15th Annual Investors Summit at Sea. What a week we've had so far, and we're right in the middle of it. Next week on the show, you'll hear from a whole bunch of other faculty members because we had so many. They're spread over two shows this time. Let's welcome back for his fifth appearance on an Investor Summit at Sea, the amazing Peter Schiff. So, Peter, what's your favorite item on the buffet so far?
I haven't been to the buffet.
Excellent. That'll be a short question. Hey, you gave us a talk yesterday, and we had lots of buzzing conversation about dinner and so forth. And the thing we always want to know from an economist is kind of where we're headed, and you make it a habit of studying that stuff. What say you?
I agree with Robert. No, I think that, you know, we're headed for inflation. I think Kenny's going to get his wish. We're going to have inflation and we're going to have an economic downturn. I mean, generally people think that those things are mutually exclusive. They think, well, if the economy is weak, then inflation is lower because people think that inflation is a byproduct of economic growth when it's not. I mean, generally, when economies are strong and they're more productive, it keeps a lid on prices because you're producing more goods, so the supply of goods goes up. And that keeps a lid on prices. But when you have a weak economy that's not very productive, you have a shortage of goods. And when you have a central bank that's printing a lot of money, and as the U.S. economy slows down to the point where it is measurably in recession, and I think it's, you know, been in recession for most of the last 8 years, but when the government numbers finally reveal the economic weakness, the Federal Reserve will once again respond by printing more money. And so I think that's just going to accelerate the inflationary trend that's already in motion. So I think we do get a lot of inflation in the future. And I think we have an economic downturn. And in fact, Alan Greenspan is now on the same page.
Alan Greenspan on the same page of Peter Schiff. Who thought that would ever happen in our lifetimes? That's crazy. But let's also talk about this. You know, we hear in the news, especially the major media, that the dollar's strong, the dollar's strong. You had something to say about the dollar being strong as well.
Well, I mean, when they say the dollar's strong, it's all relative. They say the dollar is strong relative to some other currency that's also falling, but it's falling at a slower rate. So being strong relative to the euro or being strong relative to the yen is not real strength. I mean, if you look at the price of gold is almost, you know, $1,260 an ounce. Gold is up about 8% so far this year. That's not very strong. Gold was up again last year. In fact, gold, ever since 2000, gold's only been down, I think, 3 years. And so to me, the dollar seems very weak. And of course, anytime you measure your, you know, your cost of living, prices are rising. Forget about what the government says about 2% inflation. Most people's cost of living is rising a lot more than 2% per year. If the dollar really were strong, your cost of living would be falling.
Now, the first day, we had Dr. Doug Duncan, the chief economist of Fannie Mae, and we asked what you were going to cover in your talk, and you said basically everything that he says. I'm going to say the opposite. But then you guys sat and had lunch together. Tell us about that conversation. Who would like to be a fly on a wall for that lunch? Well, the chief economist of Fannie Mae and Peter Schiff, and you guys got along famously.
Yeah, we really didn't disagree about anything. So I was kind of surprised because when I was listening to his talk, I was waiting for all the things that I was going to, you know, find objectionable, and he never got to any. Although he did mention that he wasn't sure if we had a housing bubble now because he wasn't sure if, you know, we didn't have all of the same types of speculation that existed the last time. And I agreed. But I still think we have a bubble. When I talked to him about it privately, about why I thought this bubble was just different than the last bubble, he pretty much agreed with me. And I was kind of surprised that somebody who believes in free market principle, remember he talked a lot about the minimum wage and how destructive it is. And so he said a lot of things, and which was surprising coming from a government economist. You know, and so I'm not really sure why they hired him. Somebody screwed up over there. They actually let somebody who understands economics somehow slip through the cracks.
You know, they slip through every now and then. How about a hand for Peter Schiff? All right, we have a very rare appearance from a gentleman who's somehow found a way to appear at the last three. This makes it four investor summits. Please welcome from SovereignMan.com, Mr. Simon Black. Simon, great to have you back as always. And you prepared a presentation that you'd never have given before and probably never will again. And how was it? So hit the high notes for us. What did you talk about that you're willing to share on the radio?
Well, does anybody remember what I talked about? I sure don't. Yeah, actually, strangely enough, I was actually the voice of optimism this year. I followed Peter Schiff. I'm of the opinion that, yeah, sure, there's a lot of obvious risks, and we walk through a number of those risks. Obviously, there's unprecedented levels of debt. The central bank, the most systematically important, largest central bank in the world, is actively engineering its own insolvency. There are a number of problems in the banking system. Kenny was talking earlier about how he's got these banks that are getting him 10-year interest only at 3%, 4%. Who wants to be a depositor at that bank? I mean, that's insane, right? But this is the banking system. You know, this is where your money is right now, is going into something that clearly is just going to be inflated away. That's your money that's at risk. So clearly there's a lot of problems, but anytime there's problems, those are just opportunities. And I, you know, I think it's really a great time to be optimistic. There's clearly, Tom, are you telling me to speak up or are you saying thumbs up, buddy? Okay, thanks. Hey, Tom Hopkins is with me. That's a great thing. I'm happy about that. I'm probably breaking the rules right now, aren't I?
Not at all.
Okay. Yeah, look, we were on this panel yesterday, and perhaps that's the reason why Peter's sitting next to me right now, because Peter's a dear friend. Actually, it might not have appeared that way yesterday, but Peter and I go back quite a few years now, and I love the guy, and but I push back from time to time when he digs into his crystal ball. But the reality is that Peter and I don't really disagree on a whole lot, and we're on the same page with so many things. But I guess one of the biggest points on the panel yesterday, we were discussing about what does the next crisis look like and so forth. At the end of the day, again, nobody really knows exactly what it's going to look like. History gives us some indications. But the thing that we know is that there's going to be a lot of things that change. The rules are going to change, but we're all very smart people. And as smart people, we're just going to figure out the new rules, and we're going to adapt and overcome, and we're going to be okay. And I think that's really the name of the game, and why I'm really so optimistic. The more we know, the more we learn, the more we come to events like this, the more we dial in, listen to Robert and Russell, the more we learn, and the more prepared we are for whatever's going to happen next, and we're always going to be okay.
Can't say much better than that. How about a hand for Simon Black?
It's the 15th Annual Investors Summit at Sea. Almost like being there, isn't it? We'll have real estate trivia and more great guests next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
If you want to retire in the next 5 years or less through real estate, then please pay close attention. My name is Brad Sumrock, and I've taught thousands of my students how to replace their incomes, quit their jobs, and retire faster than they ever thought possible by not investing in single-family homes. You see, there's a secret to retiring fast with little risk, and it has nothing to do with being a landlord, fixing toilets, or flipping houses. The secret is multifamily apartment buildings. Starting from scratch with zero experience, I managed to pocket over $1 million in cash and retire from my 17-year corporate job within 3 years of apartment investing. Now, this is not your typical no-money-down real estate training. We believe in smart, hard work for intelligent people. So if you're good with your finances, have a decent job, or saving your money, and you're looking for a change and getting out of the rat race, then investing in apartment buildings might just be the answer you've been looking for. Send an email right now to sumrock at realestateguysradio.com to get the details of my upcoming training event. And you'll also receive my free training webinar, Apartment Investing for Beginners. That's Sumrock, S-U-M-R-O-K, at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Doug Casey, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program at the 15th Annual Investors Summit at Sea. Great hearing from Robert Kiyosaki, Ken McElroy, Peter Schiff, Simon Black, and more on the way. First, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize, and it's an awesome one. If you know today's Real Estate Trivia question, in just a minute we'll give you the question, and you'll quickly come up with the answer by sending an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com, trivia@realestateguysradio.com. When you do, include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address, so we can physically send you an autographed copy of the 20th anniversary edition of Rich Dad Poor Dad, signed by Robert Kiyosaki. That's our prize today. Last week on The Real Estate Guys, it was real-life lessons from student to syndicator, and we talked about the market of Memphis. Here was our trivia question. One of the best-known places in the city of Memphis is Beale Street, where the father of the blues wrote and played his music. His statue stands in a park named for him on Beale Street. Who was the father of the blues? The answer, W.C. Handy. Yep, mentioned in the Mark Cohn classic, Walking in Memphis. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. One of our stops on this year's Investors Summit is the island of Roatan. Roatan's part of the Bay Islands of Honduras. Here's our trivia question. How many Bay Islands are there? Yep, how many Bay Islands, masses of real estate, are there just off the coast of Honduras? If you know or want to guess, send us your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, your mailing address. If you're the winner, we'll send you a brand new copy of the 20th anniversary edition of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it's one of the first to be signed by Robert Kiyosaki.
That's today's real estate trivia question. We're in the middle of the ocean with a live studio audience. We love it when we have amazing faculty that return, like the last four gentlemen. We also love it when we meet brand new folks making their first appearance. Let's welcome the authors of Prosper. It's Chris Martinson and Adam Taggart. So, gentlemen, it's been great having you guys here, and really awesome to be able to expose your message, which is fairly unique in the world, I think, to our optimistic crowd, and yet it's a message that gets mixed feelings from a lot of people that hear it. And let's talk, I think, maybe first about the crash course, Chris, and how that came about and how you got to where you are.
Well, the crash course is a view of the world, which is something that I came by because my portfolio was being shredded in 2000 and 2001. And I got curious, and I started asking my broker some questions that he couldn't answer, and one thing led to another. I'm a curious guy, and all of a sudden I discovered that our entire entitlement system in the United States is insolvent. I thought that was kind of important information. And then I discovered how money creation actually works in banking, and one thing led to another. So as a curious guy, once I put this story together, the crash course really said the position we're in right now is untenable. The direction we're going is unsustainable. Things will change. But as Simon Black was saying earlier, if things are changing, that's both crisis and opportunity. I wanted to position my family for success in this story.
Well, and really, the Crash Course started as a video series and became a book.
It did. And the video series I put out online, it was really important information. I made it freely available. It got translated by volunteers into 12 languages, got viewed millions of times around the world. The book was a request from a publisher. They said I should do it. It turned out to be the most expensive business card I've ever written. But I'm glad I did it.
And it's endorsed pretty heavily by Robert Kiyosaki. I know we had a chance to kind of study that work a little bit. And then your latest book, Prosper, really is what the meat of the conversation that you guys were able to share from the front of the stage as well as around the ship. Who had a really cool conversation with one of these gentlemen this week? Awesome. So, Adam, let's talk about your role a little bit. You guys have a great partnership, right? Russ and I are enamored of great partnerships because we have a great partnership. We see that in you guys, and it's rare to find that, and you both bring complementary skills. Talk about that, Adam.
Sure. So when Chris started publishing The Crash Course, it was really right when I was sort of falling down the rabbit hole with all this information. So he was a real guide of mine in understanding how these new rules were working, that were driving the trends that were most likely going to shape our future. So by the time that I had gotten to the point where Chris had gotten to a few years before, where he ejected from the corporate world, I had made the decision to eject, but I did not know where I was going to land. And I knew that I had a passion for this material and for helping people understand the data and what was going on, and to hopefully use that data to make more informed decisions in their life. So I was an executive at Yahoo at the time, and very selfishly, during my last couple of months with the company, I used the platform there to bring Chris in ostensibly as a public service to my fellow employees to let them know about this data I've been boring them about for many years, but really selfishly to get to meet Chris and a few other peers in this space and to see, you know, is this a world that I could end up living in? And I remember returning home that night from the event with my wife asking me, hey, how did it go? And I said, you know, this is the first perfect day that I can remember in years and years. So to me, that was a really important sign that this was a space that I was destined for. Right after that, Chris called and said, hey, tell me more about your plans to leave Yahoo, because I feel like I've got my finger on something really, really big here, but as a sole provider, I can't give it my full attention in terms of running it and get the messaging out while also working on my analysis. And so I had the digital media background, and we just thought, you know, this is a real complementarity of skills. And I also had the Wall Street background to understand the source material well. So to your point, I think we had the skill sets that complemented each other really well. And the fact that Chris is a great guy, and the fact that he shares the same passion I do, which really is information for information's sake is useless. It's really the application of what you do with that information, helping people take smart, prudent action in their lives to secure a more prosperous tomorrow is what we're all about. And that's something that we're just in lockstep on.
Well, that's, I think, the big attraction to us. Of course, our motto with the Real Estate Guys for years, education for effective action. And what I love about Prosper, it paints the picture. And we'll talk about the three E's in a minute, because that's kind of the foundation of what you guys talk about. And then it talks about real solutions, things you can do. And of course, that's supplemented on the website at peakprosperity.com, where you guys regularly and constantly update tons of information. It's very interactive. So if you've not been to peakprosperity.com, stay up to date with what these guys are. They're always current in it. But let's talk about the foundational part, Chris, the three E's that you guys pay attention to.
Well, sure. So one of my favorite quotes is from Leonardo da Vinci, who said, learn how to see. Realize that everything connects to everything else. And so I'm a generalist, I guess. You know, I did some pretty deep science training at one point in my life, but the Crash Course is based around the economy being the first E. I care about the economy the most. If we have a functioning economy, we can do all kinds of things. If we don't, a lot of things are impossible. So I care about the economy. And by the way, the economy allows me to talk to anybody. Everybody cares about their pocketbook. I don't care what religion they're from or what political party or who they voted for. None of that matters. So that was my entree to get in. But once I'm in, we have to talk about two other E's in the story. They all connect. Energy, really important story in energy. Watch out what's going to happen to oil prices 2-3 years from now. A lot of data behind why that is. But understanding the connection of energy and the economy, one of the most important insights you can bring into your life. It's really predictive and explanatory. Great stuff. And then the 30 is the environment, which is the stuff we're taking out and putting back in to the environment. So resources out, waste in, and also the species and the ecosystems out there. When you put all three of these E's together, it says, look, as a species, we humans, we're kind of, we've come through teenagerness. We're living in a really messy house, time to grow up. We got to be adults. And that's really part of that message is we can't keep going as we have. It's time to have a whole different approach to living on this planet.
Well, this is one of the fundamental things that I think that broke a lot of paradigms on our very first day out of the gate on the summit is this idea that you can't just continue to have continued growth increase year after year, and yet so many companies, so many countries, that's what they base their projections on. We're always going to have a better this year than last year, and next year is going to be even better. And why that's a great optimistic attitude, what your research shows is it's not actually possible.
It's just not possible. Exactly. So you know, even children can work this out. Infinite growth is not possible in a finite space. So we live on a planet. It's only so big. I know it's finite because it's a sphere. And so this is really where we are in this story. And by the way, other countries are figuring this out. China is way ahead of the curve on this story of understanding that resources are limited. This is going to be a big dominant story going forward over the next 5, 10, 20 years. And people are just starting to wake up to this, but I think they need to know about it. And people who don't know about this story, I think, are in danger of being blindsided by events. So I'm here to alert people, wake them up, help them understand what's happening. Look, I might be wrong, but I'm not confused. A lot of data to back up this position. So our request, OS, Adam, the request Adam and I make is, look, accept what we're saying or reject it, but do that on the base of data. You can't just ignore this anymore. There's just too much information. So feel free to reject it. Tell us how we're wrong. But you got to bring some data to that gunfight.
Adam, let's talk a little bit about the forms of capital. You talk about in the book 8 forms of capital. Last time we had you on the show, we were really talking about this emotional capital as we make decisions. But I think we spent a lot of time also talking about social capital. So when people talk about capital, I think about their money. But what you've been able to convince us of this week is the world's a lot more than that.
Right. So, you know, when we talk about the data that's in the crash course and the three E's that Chris was just mentioning, that's really sort of the problem definition part of our work, right? Those are all the things that are likely going to change in the future. And for many people, it's going to be an experience of losing what they have, losing economic opportunity, you know, having to do more things themselves because the energy might not be there, losing key components of our ecosystems that we're going to have to figure out how to live without. That's kind of the stuff that's, you know, more serious, more depressing stuff. Now, of course, the question that rises in people's minds is, well, gosh, if that's what the future is going to be driven by, well, what should I be doing, right? That's what Prosper is all about, and that's what the eight forms of capital are, that framework was constructed to address. And I think the key thing there is look, we want people to adopt behaviors today that really no matter what the future brings, they're going to be better off. And this goes to what Simon was saying earlier, which is that nobody has a crystal ball. I mean, we can look at probabilities, we can look at history, we can have a sense of where things are going to head. We maybe have a pretty good idea we're going to end up at Z if we start at A, but we don't know exactly how we're going to get from B to C to D, et cetera. And so our big theme is developing resilience, right? So that means that no matter what happens, you're largely going to be okay. The eight forms of capital is how we look at people's main desire, which is how do I preserve my wealth? And first thing we do is say, okay, well, let's actually get really crystal clear on what we mean by wealth. You know, a lot of people initially think, well, that's the money I have, right? And really, if your definition of wealth is simply the zeros in your bank account, you're completely missing the boat and you are definitely, definitely not resilient. So to help people understand what we mean by resilience, we talk about these different eight forms of capital. Now, money is an important one of them. Financial capital definitely is something you're going to need to weather some of the things that may come, but it's not all-consuming, and it's no more important than the other forms of capital. So you mentioned a few others, right? There's emotional capital, which is how do you deal with adversity, and we know a lot of people who have a lot of other resources, but they have very little emotional capital, and if you fall to pieces when tough times hit, it doesn't really matter what you have. Right. So another big one we talked about that you asked about was social capital. And this is probably the dimension that most people, when we hold our seminars, feel the most exposed by. And social capital, quite simply, is who are the people in your relationships who care about you enough to care about your well-being in troubled times? Right. Who are people who are actually going to check up on you or contribute support to you? We recommend that people do this for a variety of reasons. We can look at it completely selfishly, right? Which is, this is the dimension that's going to provide for you the things that you can't provide on your own. None of us is excellent at everything. We all have our weaknesses. Social capital is where you find other people to contribute in the areas where you're deficient. And it's a reciprocal relationship where, in turn, you need to fill gaps for those people. But we feel, you know, as a species, we're a communal species, we're a tribal species. There's a lot of fundamental fulfillment that we get from living in connection with those around us. The modern culture that we have really actually isolates us in many ways, oftentimes geographically with our houses, but even socially through social media and whatnot, where our interactions with people are actually through a digital interface. They're not face-to-face and live in the real world. So when we talk about developing social capital, most of the people whom we talk to about this look at their lives and think, you know what, gosh, if the lights went out tomorrow, there really aren't that many people I can call, and there aren't people on my street who I have relationships enough with to rely on you know, their support. You know, really what we're encouraging people to do is to get started on changing that for the better now, because the wrong time to try to prepare for this is the day after a crisis has hit. And unlike some other things, you know, you can run out and buy a water filter in a panic if shelves are still stocked. But the only way you can create social capital is over time. It's through repeated interaction that builds trust that oftentimes takes years. And so the time to get started on that is now.
Love the propensity to action. So here's what I want to know from the audience. If you made a decision this week to actually do something in response to what these gentlemen teach, round of applause.
That's very kind.
Wow, that's pretty encouraging. Let's give them a hand. Adam Taggart, Chris Martinson. We're live from the middle of the ocean. It's the 15th annual Investors Summit at Sea. I'm your host, Robert Elm.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
It's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from May 5th through 8th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 10 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful. And wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2016 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year is off to an even better start. How does that translate to real estate investment? Well, that's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize when it comes to real estate investing, including both long-term and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, the market we'll spend time in, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me May 5th through 8th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips here at the Real Estate Guys, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of local providers that will help educate you about the market so you can follow up with them after the trip if the market is interesting to you. But that ball's in your court. You'll receive their contact details, but they won't receive yours unless you give it to them. You've heard about Belize and the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on Events, where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trips. Once you register, you'll get information about our group hotel rates, as well as travel details. So join me in Belize. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under Events and join us for the next Belize Discovery Trip. I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Anthony Melchiori from Hotel Impossible, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. We've got a live studio audience. We do that every year on the Investors Summit at Sea. We have such an amazing time. We are just getting to know each other. It's a few days in, and already it's been absolutely stellar, hasn't it? Let's say hello to a gentleman who's back for his third summit. He's the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, Mr. G. Edward Griffin. Ed, I think you have some fans here, my friend. So let's talk a little bit about money. One of the things that you've got your mind around, and a lot of people don't, is money. What it is, what it does, and how it works.
Money, money, money. That is one of my favorite topics. Yeah. Not because I want more of it, although that's true. Everybody could use a little bit more of it. But because there's so much misunderstanding about what it really is. Why do we want money? Is it just because we want to be rich? Well, why do we want to be rich? And sometimes people will tell you that money is the root of all evil, and I'm not in this for the money, you understand. And they're embarrassed by the fact that they're making a profit. Well, the profit motive is okay, but I'm altruistic, you understand. And all this nonsense. Why do people always want money, including the ministers that preach against money? They pass the hat, don't they? Why is that? Well, it's a very simple thing. Money is a measure of the extent to which you can ask for and receive the services of other people. And that's it. And if you want to accomplish anything in life for the good or evil side, you need money to do it. Evil people are the root of evil, not money. It's evil people. Don't forget that. So if you have money, you can do very good things with it. You can send your kids to school where they can learn to hate money and capitalist system and all of that. You can send money to charity organizations. You can travel. You can learn. You can do all kinds of good things. Or you can use money to hire the corrupt judges and attorneys to steal, legally plunder your neighbors. So let's get on with this thing, money. We like money, but the fact of the matter is that evil people have captured control of the system by which money is created. And therein lies the tale that I'm here to talk about.
So if you've not read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, you would be in the minority in this room. Who's read the book? Which, unfortunately, Ed, means there's not a lot of sales left in this room for that book. But there is in general. It's a tale. It's a murder mystery of a proportion that you can't understand until you get your mind around it. In the brief time we have, tell us all about the Federal Reserve.
All about the Federal Reserve. Well, it's a scam. Any questions? Okay, that's the short version. The longer version takes you to a very long story. But it is a scam, and it's hard for people to get their minds around that fact. It was for me to recognize it, because when I started down this path, I was simply interested in just learning what is the source of inflation. I was interested in doing a little documentary film on the cause of inflation. And, of course, you don't go far down that path before you wind up finding out that the Federal Reserve System is the engine of inflation, because it creates money and extinguishes money. It controls the money supply at will. Usually in the old days, when money was backed by something of tangible value, like gold or silver, or anything else that takes human effort to produce, then the supply of money always expanded in direct proportion to the degree to which other goods and services expanded in society, because they all take human effort. And if you could get, you know, more benefit by digging gold out of the ground than you could by making suits, then you stop being a suit maker and you go become a gold miner, and therefore the supply of gold would increase until finally there was too much gold and it was more valuable to quit being a miner and go make suits. And so this is that human dynamic that takes place in a free society. If you stop trying to control the supply of money to satisfy some formula that you and your great wisdom and your committee members have decided is the right amount of money for society, if you just let nature take care of itself, supply and demand, why, money will grow in direct proportion to how fast it needs to grow, so that the price of that suit of clothes or a belt or a roast beef sandwich or whatever it is remains very, very constant throughout a long period of time. So when people take hold of that mechanism and they start manipulating the supply of money artificially, when it's just removed from this human effort requirement, then, of course, you can imagine if anybody in this room had the power to create money out of nothing, what do you suppose you would do? You create money out of nothing. That's exactly what you would do. And not necessarily in the banking system, it's not necessarily because you would spend that money for your own purposes, but you would lend that money at interest. You see, that's the trick. Now, if you can collect interest on nothing, Not too shabby. That's the secret of the banking fraternity today. They collect interest on nothing. And that's why we have the problem we have.
So hard to get your head around. If you don't yet, what you want to do next is get the creature from Jekyll Island. How about a hand for G. Everett Griffin? As we wrap up part one of our two-part summit series, let's welcome the co-host of the Real Estate Guys radio program, our financial strategist, Russell Gray. We're halfway in. We're halfway through, and already it's been amazing. What are your big takeaways, Russ?
You know, it's hard to follow sitting here next to Ed Griffin and the opportunity to be in front of all these fabulous people that we're spending time with. But for me, it just comes back to realizing, you know, the metaphor of being on a cruise ship, that we have our investments and really all of our economic hopes and dreams floating in an ocean that has a lot of dynamics. It's an ecosystem. We talked about that at the beginning. And there's so many factors. There's the undercurrents, and there's the winds that blow, and the waves, and the weather conditions, whether they're sunshine or clouds. And, you know, the old adage that there's always a silver lining, you know, you think about it, because we learned from Robert Kiyosaki that there's two sides to every issue, that he says all the time that unity is plural at a minimum two, meaning for there to be a good, there's a bad, and so on. So there's always another side to the coin. So for every problem we hear about, the flip side of that problem is an opportunity. And as investors, as entrepreneurs, problems are the things that we get excited about. You know, Kenny said, hey, I'm looking forward to inflation. I'm looking forward to the dollar crash. Other people are afraid of it. The same circumstances, but different responses. And ultimately, that's what it comes down to. People who are willing to take the time to invest in their education and invest in their relationships and take a deep dive, not just a superficial look at some of these topics, because this is some heady stuff. But you spend the time here for a week listening to these brilliant people say things, and then you get to go in and have conversations. And just when you think your head is about to explode, we go party and we blow off some steam and we have a good time and we remember that we're all human beings and there's a lot of good people in the world. And to Simon's point and to Adam's point and Chris Martinson, the idea that there's good people out there, social capital, investing in the relationships. We're becoming a tribe here even during this week. And of course, after having done this for 15 years and we look at the friendships, so many people, over half the people here on this event have been before. And it's like a big happy reunion. So I love it. I mean, I just never get tired of doing it. People look at us, you know, we go, Robert, I don't need to tell you. I mean, you know, we're operating on 2, 3, 4 hours of sleep a night during this entire event, and we just don't get tired. It's just, we never get tired of it. We look forward to it all year. We wish it would never end, and we just go, go, go. So I love it. I can't wait to do it again, but I'm glad we're still in the middle of it. And I really appreciate all of you people here in the studio audience for being here. Most of the time, I'm just looking into Robert's puppy dog eyes while we're making the radio show, which is fun. It's not bad. It's not bad because I love the guy in the right kind of way. And so, but it's really neat to see how this thing has evolved for some of the people here, and certainly for me and my family in 15 years. I remember where it was when we started. I look at where it is today. I can only imagine what it's going to be like in a few years. But when I consider the power of the tribe and the commitment to prosperity that all of us have, I can't imagine a future, no matter what happens circumstantially, where we're not going to do great together. And so I think for me, that's the big takeaway and continues to be the driving force behind why I'm here, and I love to participate.
Well said. Have a hand for Russell Gray, ladies and gentlemen. I wish it could go on and on. In fact, it can. Next week, you'll meet lots more of our faculty from the Investor Summit at Sea. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.